To an already storied career, we can add one more milestone. Late last night, it broke that the Obama administration will nominate Elena Kagan, currently the first woman Solicitor General of the United States, to replace John Paul Stevens as an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. An official announcement is expected in a little less than 2 hours from now. Joining us is Dahlia Lithwick, Senior Legal Correspondent for Slate Magazine. Good morning, Dahlia.
Hi, John. Hi, Celeste.
And also one more time, John Barrett, Professor of Law at St. John University here in New York City, who's been a colleague of Elena Kagan for quite some time. Professor Barrett, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk generally for a moment. Certainly legal scholars and people in law schools know who the dean of the Harvard Law School is, and Elena Kagan was a former dean of Harvard. They know who the Solicitor General of the United States is. But if you had to introduce Elaine Kagan to the American people, as Barack Obama will in many respects later today, John Barrett, what would you say about Elena Kagan?
Well, Elena is one of the most decent, hardworking, and brilliant people I've ever met. And I think she reflects really the best of us as a country. She's someone who comes from a typical background. She had a teacher and a lawyer as her parents. She worked hard. She succeeded. She's always cared about people and policy issues. And her star has risen enormously high. I think it's a great American story.
Is that going to fly around the United States? Another New Yorker. She's from the Upper West Side. Typical upbringing?
I think typical upbringing, commuting by subway with her dad to her public school. She lived in the Midwest for a few years. She actually didn't drive till she was 31, so she had to learn to become a Midwesterner, including behind the wheel. But yes, I think she's very much a people of the people.
All right, we're talking with John Barrett, professor of law at St. John's University in New York City. You can tell there he's been an acquaintance, a friend of Elena Kagan for a quarter century now, attended Harvard Law School with her. Dahlia Lithwick also with us. If we're talking about the sort of legal, sort of theoretical underpinnings of this very competent legal scholar litigator, Elena Kagan, what would you say about this Supreme Court nominee, Dahlia Lithwick?
Oh, well, I think it's indisputable. I think Professor Barrett is spot on that she's brilliant and accomplished. She is incredibly well-regarded as a bright light. I think that the seminal thing to say about Kagan is in many ways she's unknowable and that she really has, you know, she's got a handful of law review articles, a handful of statements. She's got statements she made at her confirmation hearings for SG. But really, I think the thing that's fascinating and intriguing is that on very key issues ranging from abortion to the death penalty, we don't exactly know where she stands. Now, you can say that's because she's been such an adept lawyer. In other words, she's taken positions on behalf of the government when she's represented the government. She's been very, very careful at Harvard Law School to take positions that were appropriate for the dean of the law school, but not to go beyond that. So I think one of the things that's really fascinating about her is she's a little bit of a Rorschach test. You're seeing attacks from the left and attacks from the right on her based on really very, very thin evidence of what she truly, truly believes in her heart, because she's been very careful to keep her heart to herself.
Well, as Solicitor General, there's only so much heart-keeping you can do. Here's an exchange in the Citizens United case where arguing for the U.S. government, Elena Kagan, confronts Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts.
You know, an individual can be the wealthiest person in the world, but few of us, maybe some, but few of us are only our economic interests. We have beliefs, we have convictions, we have likes and dislikes. Corporations engage the political process in an entirely different way, and this is what makes them so much more damaging.
Well, that's not – I'm sorry, but that seems rather odd. A large corporation, just like an individual, has many diverse interests. The idea that corporations just are different than individuals in that respect, I just don't think holds up.
It's exciting to listen to that exchange, given that Elena Kagan will now be a nominee for the Supreme Court. John Barrett, what do you hear in that exchange? She lost that Citizens United case, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, she did, 5-4. The Solicitor General represents the United States, including the statutes and the executive branch. And I think the die may have been cast. That case was argued once before Elena was the Solicitor General. But what I hear in that exchange is, I think, typical of Elena, the open-minded, sensible quality. I think Dahlia is right to some extent that the public and commentators will be looking for some deep pre-commitment that identifies Elena Kagan. But I don't think there is a secret person hidden in here. There's an open-minded, fair person. There's a thinker. There is a person who takes a lot of input and has a lot of human contact and experience, comes to her best assessment of a problem, and then, frankly, will continue to work on it. I think those are wonderful qualities in a judge, and if she's lucky to be nominated and confirmed, a judge who could serve a long time, because I think people should be open-minded. Justice Stevens has been that type. He has confronted a case at a time and an issue at a time. That's what Elena is like.
John Barrett is professor of law at St. John's University in New York City. Dahlia Lithwick, before we go, free speech advocates look at the Citizens United case and say, here's someone who wants to regulate speech, even if it is a corporation. It's still a sort of a citizen in the eyes of the Constitution. At Harvard, she was interested in the government regulating recruiters on campus for the military because of her opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The questioning of Lindsey Graham at her confirmation hearings as Solicitor General suggests she would actually support the U.S. government suspending possibly habeas corpus in certain instances of national security. Does that sum up where the opposition and the questioning stands at this point?
I think certainly some of it. I think there's a good fight going on right now on both sides about her views, particularly on executive power. But it's so important to say positions that she took as SG reflect positions she had to take as SG. They do not necessarily reflect what she's going to think when she's on the Supreme Court.
And we'll find out a lot more about that. Again, within the next 2 hours, President Obama expected to formally nominate Elena Kagan, currently the Solicitor General of the United States, to replace John Paul Stevens on the Supreme Court, which sets up confirmation hearings and an exploration of all the issues we've been discussing with Dahlia Lithwick, senior legal correspondent for Slate Magazine, also John Barrett, professor of law at St. John's University. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.